Good evening. Let's begin with a prayer. This is actually a novena prayer for St. Therese on this vigil of the Feast of St. Therese, October 1st, tomorrow, 2016. St. Therese, privileged little flower of Jesus and Mary, we approach you with childlike confidence and deep humility. We lay before you our desires and beg that through your intercession they may be realized. Did you not promise to spend your heaven doing good on earth? Grant us, according to this promise, the favors we ask from you. Intercede for us all the days of our life, but especially during this retreat, and obtain for us from God the graces and favors we ask through your intercession. Amen. Amen. Take a moment of silence and think about what it is that your personal special intention is for this weekend, what it is you hope Therese will help you acquire from our loving God. O Lord, you have said, unless you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Grant us, we beg you, so to follow in humility and simplicity of heart the footsteps of the Virgin Saint Therese, that we may attain to an everlasting reward. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Father James Zakowicz, a Carmelite, Discalced Carmelite priest from the Western Province, the province of California, Arizona. It's good to be here with my other brown robes, Carmelite seculars, to prepare for and celebrate and reflect upon Saint Therese, the little flower. I believe very strongly that my vocation to Carmel, as circuitous as the route was to get here, was kind of planned and navigated by my mother and Saint Therese. After my mom died, and before I knew that the difference between a little Teresa and big Teresa, Saint Therese and big Teresa, I didn't even know there was a difference. I was cleaning out her room and I found a bookshelf, and there were a number of books on Therese, the little flower, and I read the story of a soul. And my first thought was, oh, this is like saccharin. Is it saccharin or is it sugar? But, you know, as I read it, I started to have memories of my mom and some different things that she had said or done that were very childlike, very simple. And I realized that, you know, she had a devotion to Therese, and it was because their personalities were in many ways quite a bit alike. And so I want to thank Therese publicly for bringing me to Carmel, and the order where you know, it's okay to be childlike, to be simple, as a way of endearing ourselves, if you will, to the God who loves us like children. And as I was preparing for this retreat in particular, I came across a quote, a number of quotes from Therese, one from her Story of a Soul, where she says this. She says it to her retreat director. Actually, she's saying it in prayer, but for me, this is how I feel. I feel like Therese giving a retreat. I am going to stammer some words, even though I feel it is quite impossible for the human tongue to express things which the human heart can hardly understand. And that's how I feel, is that, you know, I've been called on as a Carmelite expert to talk about our little Therese, but, you know, she makes it easy. She makes it easy for every single one of us to be a theologian. And as a doctor of the church, who would have ever thought that such a young nun who was cloistered, died in her early 20s, would become a doctor of the church? But it's because she expressed this theology of the little way. So the title of this retreat is simple, you know, the little way. I made that up myself, because I'm a theologian, and because I'm a Carmelite, and because I feel like I'm not really prepared to speak of theology, but I am prepared to speak of God's fatherly love, I'm going to take this first introduction tonight. I'm going to take a lot of what I'm saying from Father Jacques Philippe, whom many of you may have heard of. His book that came out about 6 years ago now, in 2010, it's called The Way of Trust and Love, a retreat guide guided by St. Thérèse of Lisieux. He's pretty much done my homework for me in helping me to summarize this little way, which is actually very dense, if you will. All of the writings of Thérèse are very dense. So he's helped me to be able to present the little way to you tonight as a summary. And the sisters have this book for sale at the bookstore. And also they have one of his, or a number of his talks, one in particular on St. Thérèse that you can purchase if you don't already have it. And it's just very, his presentation style is just very calm and very, very simple. And it makes it just really a pleasure. And so let's remember that this is a retreat and that we should go into it with really kind of a sense of silence, a sense that, you know, God is working within us and that, you know, as Father Jacques Philippe says in one of his talks, he says, the director is not important. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to be doing the work on this retreat. Whatever it is that you have asked for, whatever it is that you need, even if you can't express it, God knows, and he will send the Holy Spirit to work in you through maybe whatever you hear. And what is difficult sometimes about preaching about maybe Carmelite saints is that, you know, especially to Carmelites, we've probably heard all this before, but I'm hoping that I can kind of package it in a way that will give you some food for thought in a new way as we think about and pray with Thérèse this weekend. So tonight is going to basically be a quick summary of her new way, the little way of St. Thérèse. And then the three themes that I really picked out of all of my reading on Thérèse as I was preparing for this are going to be the topics for the next three talks tomorrow and Sunday morning. And that is in this order, for a reason: suffering, mercy, and trust. And we'll get into that as we go along tomorrow. But to quote Thérèse, my way is entirely one of trust and love. And as I was thinking about just really the simplicity of this little way, I was realizing that Thérèse looks at everything around her, all the stories you can read about her. She loves to look at nature. She loves to look all around her at nature and people and even herself. And I realized that that's really what babies and little children do. As I'm in a parish in Washington State. I'm a pastor at a parish. The Carmelites have been there since the 1980s. And I've been there for 4 years. And I've watched the kids grow up. It's amazing Some of the kids I see walking up to me, they're almost as tall as I am. I remember them 4 years ago when, you know, they were just short and little kids. Now their voices are changing. I'm also looking at babies being born and watching just within months how they go from kind of just blank stares, you know, looking at the bright light that they see, to actually focusing in on it. And then they're focusing in on me. And they're very distracting at communion time, because I'm playing with the babies. But I'm watching their development, and they're always looking around. And then as they get a little older, and then start to talk, you notice that right before they start talking, they'll just look up at something like a ceiling fan and point at it, you know. And it's like they're constantly looking at everything around them and trying to make sense of it and categorize. And then they start talking and they want to ask you questions about everything. Why? And they want to explain things. They might explain things that we don't really want them to explain. You know, when they take a look at you, how come and they ask questions, and because they're curious. And that's really how I see Therese. How could I not? The little way of childlike trust, that she was always looking around in amazement at even the littlest things. You know, you remember the story about her walking home with her father at night with the stars in the sky. And she started to walk backwards with her father holding her hands, her arms. And she was just letting herself go, looking up at the stars while he was like directing her backwards. And, you know, she just was looking at the stars. And she said, you know, Papa, you know, look at the stars, how beautiful. And look, I see the shape of a J. And a T, you know, Jesus and Therese. Look, my name's written in heaven. Everything that she saw reminded her of the Creator. From, you know, a little piece of sand versus a large mountain, she felt like the little piece of sand trying to get up the mountain of sanctity, you know, to, of course, the birds. And of course, how can we forget the flowers, the little flower. And we know all about her discussion about the little flowers, how she would like to be a rose. We would all like to be, you know, beautiful, fragrant roses. But some of us are just, don't have all those talents or all those capabilities or aren't that holy. But she realized that God even created the littlest flower. And she realized it was okay, because God created that little flower too. And so this way of hers is a completely new way. And it's a way that each one of us is capable of walking, no matter what. And that's really what Father Jacques Philippe talks about in his very first chapter, that it is a completely new way. And I think what I'll do is I'm going to quickly summarize what's coming up, and then I'm going to, at the end of this first chapter, as I summarize, I'm going to give you a couple of sentences that I've put together that I think summarizes this theology in two sentences. That'll be my PhD thesis, the two-sentence theology of the little way. But as Father Jacques Philippe says, the heart of the gospel we have discovered is that God is a tender father. And before I go on to that, when he talks about the new way, he talks about the fact that he believes that God, the Father, wants to create a new people. And I had to read that about a few times to figure out what he's talking about. But, you know, we can't look at this theology or any other one for that matter as like standalone, Like it's just a piece that I can learn, I can get it in my head, and then I can go on to something else. This theology of the new way, the little way, is something that we really have to live it. We have to experience it so that we can be a new people. That implies or suggests a transformation. And I think that fits in very well with, you know, what we've heard for years now, the new evangelization. That, you know, it's one thing for us to have a nice retreat all by ourselves, learning about this nice theology, and then just go back to the way things were. We could even say that with regard to every mass we attend or every prayer we say. It'd be very easy to just go through, do your prayers, go to mass, go home, and nothing has changed. But if we really want to be practitioners, if you will, of Teresian spirituality, we really have to allow that spirituality to affect us and bring out fruits of our labors, fruits of our prayer, fruits of the Holy Spirit working within us as professional, you could say, prayers, ones who pray. And proclaim the good news. We are all witnesses. We are all prophets, if you will, in our own ways. As we know, as secular Carmelites, the spirituality of the secular Carmelite is not to pray so many hours every day in a monastery, living in a community in that way, but it's to go and be salt and light within our own lives, wherever we are, wherever we go. And that's the beauty of the secular Carmelites, any secular institute, is that that fruit then goes out into places where the sisters, the friars, the nuns cannot reach because we're not there. And so this new evangelization is real, and we have to take the gospel, the good news, out into the world. The first thing we have to remember about the gospel and about scripture in general is, as believers, is that God, the heart of the gospel is that God has revealed himself as a tender father. And Therese brings that out in a very clear way by reminding us that if God is a tender father, as scripture attests and Jesus himself attests, that means that we are his children. Now we know that. We've all read St. Paul. We've been adopted through baptism. But how many of us really, when we pray, really are praying to, with, in, and through our daddy, our Abba, our father, you know, to be able to really just sit down and, you know, and imagine that God is with us as a tender father. And I mentioned this to a priest that I know in my community, and he said, you know, it would be good if we can get even past the imagination stage and not just imagine it, but in the fullness of our faith, realize that we are at all times, but especially in prayer, we are in the presence of our loving Father, and he treats us as his children, children whom do not have to fear him at all, no matter what. That our God is a God of hesed, tender mercy, which we'll get into tomorrow. What does mercy look like? Well, the face of Christ, misericordiae vultus. That's what mercy looks like. Jesus is a reflection of the love and the mercy of God the Father for us, the tenderness of the God who loves us. And knowing this, striving more and more each day to believe and live in this reality, it is important more and more to be like children, to be more and more trusting. And why do you need trust? You don't need trust in a case where you know the answer. Like, I don't trust that 2 + 2 = 4. I know that. It's a fact. But it's in the case where we need trust is when we're dealing with the God who we can't see. We can't analyze. We can't completely understand. And, you know, that's part of the beauty of the fact that we can't see God face to face right now. Yet, it kind of creates a constant sort of longing to be in relationship with that God. Now, this is what Pope John Paul II, Saint Pope John Paul the Great, said about this childlike trust. And it comes from his homily in Lisieux in June of 1980. And here's what he said. Of Thérèse of Lisieux, it can be said with conviction that the Spirit of God enabled her heart to reveal directly to the men and women of our time the fundamental mystery, the reality of the gospel, the fact of having really received a spirit of adoption as children that makes us cry out, Abba, Father. The little way is the way of spiritual childhood. This way contains something unique that is part of the genius of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. At the same time, it holds a confirmation and renewal of the most fundamental and universal truth. For what truth of the gospel message is more fundamental and universal than this, that God is our Father and we are His children? And so Jesus Himself reminds us, as we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 3, He talks about each and every one of us having to be converted in order to be more trusting. And He even says Himself to be like little children again. And he even goes further and says, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven if you don't. Those are pretty strong words. And why is it that the older I get, the harder it is for me to have childlike trust? You know, this is why this is such an important concept that we can easily just pass right over. Oh yeah, be little children, little way, childhood, spiritual childhood, little flower. We can just blow right over that and then go on to the next adult thing that we have to do to prove ourselves to God and to ourselves and to everybody else. And as you know this, I don't have to explain this one. As we get older, we get kicked around. We experience sin, not only just directly against us, we experience our own sin, but, you know, more and more we experience as we read the news and just look around, you know, when we're not looking at the birds and the trees and seeing God there, we can often get so caught up in all the negatives that are out there. And there are a lot of them, and we can become disheartened. But there aren't going to be any disheartened souls in heaven. So Jesus is basically telling us, basically each day, it's a reminder, you know, that we have to go back to being like children. And I think I really like to imagine what it was like when the children came up to bother Jesus. You know, and the disciples, the big adults, you know, don't bother him. That's the rabbi. He's got important business to attend to. He's trying to convert the world here. But Jesus says, let them come to me. And I can imagine that he felt like I feel after Mass when I've got some kids in one family who they come up automatically for a hug. You know, there's like four or five of them in one family, you know, and they're all different sizes, you know. And we've got them trained, you know. It's like, and if one of them's running off to the donut table and they pass me up, I snap my fingers and I say, hug. And they come right to me. You know, and it's just a pleasure when they do that. And I can imagine the pleasure that Jesus felt when these children were around him, probably all the time, that they brought so much joy to him. And then imagine what the disciples must have learned from that, watching this interaction, that it's like, wow, the rabbi, Son of God, Jesus Christ the Messiah, is playing with the kids and smiling, putting his hand on them, and enjoying that time with them. And so Jesus reminds us to be like that in order to have an inner transformation, to be less of an adult and more childlike, to be trusting and to be like the children. And so Jesus, Therese sees this message of Jesus, but also the other messages that came to her when she read scripture from Proverbs 9:4, you know, the little way, that we must follow the little way. Isaiah 66, that God is revealing himself over time as a tender father. And here's what Father Jacques Philippe says. The heart of Christian life is to receive and welcome God's tenderness and goodness, the revelation of his merciful love, and to let oneself be transformed interiorly by that love. And so there has to be a transformation that takes place within us every single day. And so he asks this question. So what is this little way? Here's his definition. It is the spiritual journey undertaken by Therese, a genuine path to holiness, but a path accessible to everyone, so that nobody can get discouraged, not even the littlest, the poorest, or the most sinful, so that everyone can discover a path of life, of conversion, open to him or her. In this, Therese anticipated the Second Vatican Council, which stated firmly that holiness is not an exceptional path, but a call to all Christians from which nobody can be excluded. Even the weakest and most wretched of men can answer the call to holiness. And so we see that a theology, a definition of this theology starting to form. Trusting in God as Father, which makes us his little children, conversion, transformation. But you know, this realization about the need for transformation can sometimes be a scary thing, because who wants to change, really? Because sometimes the changes that are required, even in this childlike direction, take work, they take change. But our transformation, as Therese sees it, is one that passes and goes beyond fear and leads to trust, which leads then to holiness. But her realization, too, was also that she couldn't do it herself. And, you know, sometimes you meet kids and they think they can do anything as they get older. The little ones realize very quickly that there are a lot of things they can't do, especially if they're trying to walk and then they trip and fall. And they cry, and then they hold their hands out. And they know that they need help, and they're not afraid to ask for it because they want to get up and go play again. And so it's Therese, as a in her late teens, started to realize that, yes, you know, I am weak. I am, you know, ignorant. I didn't go to any big school. I haven't even read the whole Bible. I read snippets that I get from my sister. But in that recognition, that realization of her weakness was her strength. It was that realization that allowed her, like St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, to recognize that it is in that weakness that we become strong. And this becomes her strength, this complete, not figurative, not theoretical, but the complete and real, total letting go of her will and herself to God, and to let go and let God. That's simplicity that leads to confidence. And I'm thinking now, for some reason, of little children who pass me when I'm ice skating. Can you imagine? And little kids who do all these amazing physical feats. I had an outdoor mass at a campsite for some parishioners a few weeks back. They were a bunch of homeschool families, and they were camping over the weekend, so they wanted me to come and do mass. Well, one of the kids came over to our campsite after the mass, and they said, "Hey, watch what he can do." And I'm like, "What can you do?" And he started doing somersaults, backflips, and it was just amazing. And he said, "Well, I'm a little bit afraid that I'll get crunched." But he did it anyway. And he did a great job, and we were all just standing there going, "Amazing." You know, it's that confidence that little children have, that they can kind of do anything. But it's a childlike confidence. And that's what happens when we can become childlike and completely trusting that God's going to catch us. Like a trust fall. You know, you're standing up on a wall and you don't know if the people that are behind you are going to catch you or not. But they do. And that's the attitude that we have to have, especially when we're going into something that we are afraid of or don't think we can do or whatever, that we trust that God will be there, that he will catch us. And that is God's grace. Not only the grace that he will catch us, but the grace that we can believe it, that we can start to live that way, to really live an active, a real faith. Not just a faith in the head that says, "I believe God and I believe God loves me," but that I'm going to act as if God loves me. And that, if we can do that, will change the way we behave. If you think about saints now, you know, and I'm thinking about the story of Mother Teresa. I think it was in Palestine, somewhere at the Holy Land. And there was, you know, the war going on. And she said, well, they bombed an orphanage. And the kids were there suffering and starving. And she said, well, in her pure confidence, pure trust in the Lord, she said, well, we need to go in there and save them. And all the diplomats were standing around going, no, Mother, you don't understand. You know, they're looking down at this, you know, 4 foot something woman. No, you don't understand. There's bombs going off. It hasn't stopped. And she said, well, tomorrow there will be a ceasefire and then we will go in. And they all like scratching their head like, she doesn't understand the ways of the world. But she understood something more, the ways of God. That yet the next day there was a ceasefire and she led them all to go and get those children. Now, if we could live that way each and every day, imagine what we could do. Imagine the hurdles that we could get over in our own lives, in our own communities. And we don't have to go move to India to do it. We can do it where we are. Imagine what that would be like. To be in complete conformity with God's will, to be completely open and trusting, confident in God's grace working within us. And this is another thing that Father Jacques Philippe mentions, this connection between grace, which is God's free gift to us, and our free will, which is also a gift. Everything's a gift. But that connection, that interplay, if you will, between God's grace and our free will, almost, I look at it kind of like as a dance. That God's grace and our free will can work harmoniously together to create something beautiful for God. And then what happens when we begin to start living that way in holiness, in the light of God's love and grace? There's nothing left to do but praise God, because we realize it's not me doing it. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but priests have it a lot. It keeps me humble. You know, in the confessional or from the pulpit, and somebody comes up and says, "Father, you know, you are talking just to me. And you know, remember when you said such and such?" And I'm like, "Actually, no, I don't remember saying that. You know, or I don't know why I said that, but it came out at that moment, and that's exactly what that person needed to hear. Even if it was something that was a little bit harsh, that maybe they needed to hear, that it came from the Holy Spirit. And that's what part of the joy of being a priest in those sacraments is, that, you know, that I can feel God working. And it's absolutely nothing that I've done. I guarantee that. Except being fairly faithful to the prayer, to the extent that I have been faithful, some of those things that I do say, that I don't know where they come from, actually have been being fostered from prayer. And that's at that point that I kind of make the connection. And it's like, aha! So that proves that I need to stay faithful to prayer, even if I don't feel like anything's really happening for a couple of weeks on end. Then something will happen at some point where it's a confirmation that all that effort of my free will to go in and pray, even though I don't feel anything, I'm not learning anything, the Holy Spirit is working. And it's a joy. And so all I can do in my weakness, littleness, realizing, you know what, that didn't come from me. I can't learn this stuff. I can't take a course on this stuff. That's the Holy Spirit. And the only thing I can possibly do is praise the Lord. And then, hopefully, little by little, as we live in that way, we can then, in that praise of the Lord, we can be witnesses to the people around us, especially, and I talk to people all the time, because there's plenty of people in this world we know who are suffering, those who have left the faith, or are questioning, or think that there might be an atheist. Now all of a sudden, I'm an atheist. And it's because there's something that they're trying to deal with in their lives. And from what we say, or sometimes what we don't say, like, no more lectures. To those family members, you know, they start to realize somehow they see in us grace at work. And then we can become witnesses by living faithfully our little way of confidence and love. And how does Therese react in discouragement? Because, you know, her life wasn't just one day after the next of, you know, walking on the clouds. There was real suffering. We all know the story, the stories of the sufferings that she went through, dying of tuberculosis in the end. Not, you know, always feeling like she was appreciated. There was probably some of that active in her psyche from when she was a kid, even through her adult life. But she said, instead of getting discouraged, I said to myself, God could not inspire us with desires that were unrealizable. So despite my littleness, I can aspire to holiness. In the face of weakness, strength is visible. It wouldn't be strength if she were already strong, you know? It wouldn't be such a great miracle of grace if she already had everything she needed to begin with. None of us are born as saints, but we're all called to holiness. And so some good advice here from Father Jacques Philippe. He says, I am telling you this to help you understand something. It may happen that God works a deep cure in us through totally insignificant events. Sometimes we are called by God to come out of ourselves, to take several steps forward, to become more adult and free. We turn round and round inside ourselves, enclosed in our immaturity, complaints, lamentations, and dependencies, until suddenly a day of grace arrives, a gift from God who nevertheless also calls upon our freedom. We have a choice to make, for it is at the same time a cure and a conversion. Our freedom has to opt for an act of courage. Making an act of courage, even over some very small thing, which is what God is asking of us, can open the gate to in-depth cures, to a new freedom granted us by God. And that's the beauty of the little way, is that we can make progress, we can win plenty of battles in holiness each and every day. We do not have to go and fight an army like Joan of Arc. We don't have to go look for it. Every moment is an opportunity in the little way, along the little way, to make the transformation, to find the cure, and to make the transformation. Father Jacques continues, we all need cures in order to become more adult in the faith, to be courageous in waging the battle that we must wage in the church today. To be a Christian in this day and age is not easy. We will receive the courage and strength it requires if we can say yes to God, what God asks of us. So let's put this question to God. And this is a good question to start out as we go into the silence of the evening, as we prepare for the feast tomorrow, to really start dig into this retreat. What is the yes, God, that you are asking me for today? What is the yes that God wants from you on this weekend and going forth from here? It could be just a little thing. What is the little conversion, the door that opens to let the Holy Spirit in? For if we make it, God's grace will visit us and touch us in the depths of our being. I am convinced that many of us will receive new strength from God. The door through which this strength enters us is the yes we say to our Lord, to something he asks of us, something perhaps very small, perhaps rather more important, according as he gives us to understand. And so this is why I have copied the St. Therese's Act of Oblation to Merciful Love for you. There are copies of it on the way out the door. You can pick them up on your way out. And this would be something I think that you can really reflect on and pray on this weekend, how she offered herself, if you will, as one big yes to God. Everything, every molecule of her being is offered to God, whom she recognizes loves her so much, and to be an act of oblation to the merciful, to the mercy of God, and to completely trust that God will make of her what he wants of her. And as we get into the retreat more tomorrow, to realize that we are not Pelagians. We are not heretics like Pelagius, whose theology developed into this sense of, you know, that I have to save myself by myself. That what I do is absolutely important to my salvation. That's opposite of what Therese is teaching us. You know, that we're not saved by works. Works come out of our faith. Works come out of our love. But they are not what saves us. God saves us by his grace alone. And we are not Jansenists. We don't have to be so hard on ourselves and fulfill a bunch of prescriptions of the law, whichever law you subscribe to, you know, in order to please God. That's not to say that you are to be lawless by any means, but to live the law of love, and that God will work with us where we are. And so I'm going to do two things now before we have the benediction, and that is to read for you my PhD thesis, which is basically a couple of really long sentences, which I think is a good summary of the little way, based on what we've talked about so far. Scripture reveals that God is a tender father who desires a relationship with his children, who, despite their sinfulness that leads to distrust, are called to transformation in Jesus. A transformation from fear to trust, to holiness, to a share in God's eternal glory in heaven. This transformation requires the humility of a child and the mature realism that leads to the realization that it cannot be accomplished without the grace of God, his free gift revealed as mercy. This realization leads to the praise of God's glory in every action, especially little ones, and gives witness to all of the truth of our faith in Christ and his Father. Now, I want to read for you, as you really begin the retreat, a message from our sponsor, Jesus, that he told to Faustina as she was making a retreat that he told her to make. This was on the fourth day. He said, "I will be your retreat master." So he's your retreat master this weekend as well. And here's what he says to you and Faustina and to me. At the beginning of the retreat, Jesus told me, "During this retreat, I myself will direct your soul. I want to confirm you in peace and love." On the fourth day, "My daughter, imagine that you are the sovereign of all the world and have the power to dispose of all things according to your good pleasure. You have the power to do all the good you want, and suddenly a little child knocks on your door, all trembling in tears and trusting in your kindness, asks for a piece of bread lest he die of starvation. What would you do for this child? Answer me, my daughter." And I said, "Jesus, I would give the child all it asked and 1,000 times more." And the Lord said to me, "That is how I am treating your soul. In this retreat, I am giving you not only peace, but also such a disposition of soul that even if you wanted to experience uneasiness, you could not do so. My love has taken possession of your soul, and I want you to be confirmed in it. Bring yourself close to my heart. Forget everything else and meditate on my wondrous mercy. My love will give you the strength and courage you need in these matters. Sleep tight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.